Thank you, Mr. President and members of the Security Council. Just 6 days ago, we marked the first anniversary of the signing of the revitalised agreement on the resolution of conflict in South Sudan. At the official ceremony last year, I witnessed much jubilation and hope that the agreement signalled an end to war and the beginning of a new era of peace. The citizens of South Sudan had high expectations. Over the year, their political leaders have met some, but certainly not all, of those expectations. The recent visit of Dr. Riek Machar to Juba at the invitation of President Salva Kiir was an important development. The face-to-face meetings, which many of us believe are fundamental to moving forward, provided an opportunity to discuss critical unresolved parts of the peace agreement. Publicly, the demeanour of the two men appeared conciliatory, and they reportedly spent several hours in formal and informal discussions. These meetings need to continue. Importantly, they recommitted to forming the transitional government, a positive step because it maintains the momentum of peace and bolsters confidence among South Sudanese. The challenge remains, of course, is to show tangible results, and three areas in particular require progress. First, the unification of security forces. Of the 35 cantonment sites planned, 23 are now occupied by opposition forces and 10 by the government. Troop registration has begun. Food, water, and other resources are beginning to be delivered. But many sites still lack amenities, and protection risks may arise in nearby villages if these shortfalls continue. More fundamental differences also persist. The opposition foresees a newly constituted security sector, whereas the government presumes opposition troops subsumed into existing forces. So a strategy for a unified security sector is required. UNMISS has contracted an experienced retired general from the region to help parties determine the future security policy, including the size and shape of forces. Secondly, the Independent Boundaries Commission was unable to reach consensus on the number of states and boundaries. Resolution via a referendum, we believe, is implausible given the expense and the time required. Instead, political consensus is needed. The Kiir-Machar dialogue last week called for a committee to address the sensitive issue, and we hope that is able to be resolved. Third, the agreement provides for five vice presidents, each leading a cluster of cabinet portfolios. 2 months out from a transitional government, these still need to be determined. And finally, I should mention that the non-signatories to the agreement need to move from violent opposition, for which they've been involved, to constructive participation. Mr. President, 1 year on, peace is beginning to pay dividends for the citizens of South Sudan. First and critically, the ceasefire largely continues to hold. Political violence and subsequent displacement has decreased markedly. Opposition members are continuing to move and work in Juba alongside their government counterparts to implement key parts of the peace agreement. There have been more than 130 different rapprochements across the country at a grassroots level, which demonstrates confidence and commitment at that level. The latest IPC report, which is the report that measures food security led by UNICEF, WFP and FAO, documents a slight improvement in food security. 5% fewer people now face crisis or acute food insecurity compared to last year. This, the report notes importantly, is directly attributable to peace. Displaced families and refugees returning home means that more crops are being planted, improved security has enhanced access to markets, and humanitarian access as well. And according to FAO, cereal production has increased by 150,000 metric tonnes in 1 year, an indication of what peace can provide. Still, 6.3 million people, or 54% of the population, remain food insecure and have limited access to healthcare. And we've also noted that child malnutrition, we think in the short term, has also increased. But we are seeing a change. The IPC severity map is at least becoming more orange and yellow rather than red. Humanitarian access has improved, incidents are down 30% on last year, and humanitarians are becoming more emboldened to reach out to remote areas. However, administrative impediments are still too frequent, and UNMISS has been blocked by the government from accessing areas where civilians and convoys require protection, with 124 violations of the State of Forces Agreement lodged just this year. The relative calm has enabled more displaced people to return home. IOM has registered 594,000 people returning since the peace agreement was signed. And during the same period, 17,000 people left UNMISS POC sites, while 180,000 still remain. At the Council's request, as mentioned by the President, we have reported back on future planning for the POC sites, detailing the challenges of prolonged displacement and the impediments to safe, voluntary and dignified return. These impediments include the lack of health and education services in return areas, obviously perceptions of security and concern about the fragility of the peace process. The report was widely consulted right across the community in Juba, and it has enabled a shared understanding of challenges and is forming the basis of actions going forward which are already being developed. To reflect the changing security environment, UNMISS Peacekeepers is rebalancing its deployment, moving away from the static type of deployment and protection at the POC sites to increase confidence-building patrols in areas where people will be returning to. However, the government must take the lead in creating the safe and environment and support communities so that displaced refugees and others can come back with confidence in that they will be safe when they come back. A South Sudan, I should remind everyone, that is truly at peace will no longer need protection of civilian sites. The formation of the transitional government, Mr. President, provides an opportunity to lift our gaze from immediate challenges and look over the horizon towards elections that are expected at the end of the three-year transition. Elections give the opportunity to resolve differences through democratic rather than violent means, and to make a fundamental shift from deals done between elites to a duty to deliver policies by a government that is elected by its people. Holding free and fair elections is not just about preparing logistically, but will require the creation of political space where parties can form, can discuss policies, and can campaign freely. I say this because this mounting resentment amongst South Sudanese towards elites amassing wealth while people themselves remain some of the poorest in the world. The government's budget this year is 46% higher than last year, but with no indication of how a $496 million gap will be funded, and there's little transparency about where oil revenue is being spent. The Ministry of Finance reduced health spending by 16% this year, handing almost the entire burden of health to external donors, and the reports of government expenditure have not been received since the first quarter of 2017-2018. Meanwhile, the salaries of civil servants, including teachers, health workers and police officers, are often months late. Criminality remains a serious problem, with random attacks on civilians, most commonly by unpaid soldiers and former combatants. The UN is also providing technical assistance to reform and rebuild the justice system, not just to tackle criminal acts, but to address the more pervasive issue of impunity. Mobile courts staffed by South Sudanese judiciary who have done an excellent job have expanded beyond Benchu and Malakal. In the next few weeks, they will try hundreds of serious cases, including many sexual and gender-based violence cases. Mr. President, the bottom line is simply this. While the situation for many South Sudanese citizens remains bleak, the last year of peace has kick-started a transformative process that is improving people's lives. This could not have happened without the ceasefire or the confidence generated by the peace process. The country's leaders and the international peace partners deserve credit for this. Across the country, I've personally witnessed former enemies, once committed to killing each other, sitting amicably across the table planning a future together. If South Sudan's leaders ever needed inspiration to reconcile and work in the country's best interests, they can find it under the trees and in the tukuls where communities are coming together to build peace. I promise you that UNMISS is working alongside them to lay strong foundations so that peace can be sustained. As always, our efforts are in partnership with the laudable efforts of IGAD and the African Union. The peace process remains precarious, but progress is being made. Maintaining momentum is the absolute key, and that depends very much on the continuing goodwill of the parties, as well as the collective and unrelenting focus of international friends to support the formation of a transitional government. Thank you, Mr. President.